I've seen my friends. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming, all of you. And I'm going to stand up just because I'm short for now. And then I'll sit down and I'll tell you why we're in a circle. It's part of what I'm going to talk about tonight. But this is my traditional Cherokee dress. My great-grandfather died on the Oklahoma reservation. He was full-blood Cherokee. That's on my mother's side, and on my dad's side, also great-grandmother, full-blood Cherokee. So I put Clairol in my hair and don't look Indian at all sometimes, but I really am under here, all this. This is my husband, Paul, and one of the things that I want to talk about tonight is our ancient ways of healing, and part of those ancient ways of healing are our ceremonies and traditions that help us to remember who we are and how we heal. And this was ceremonial. This was my wedding dress, and this was Paul. And Paul is Czechoslovakian, and he said, if I wear my shirt, don't let anybody ask me questions because I'm not Indian, and I'm So anyway, I said, don't worry. I'll tell him I just dressed you up and set you there, you know? But what happened was when I wanted to get married in a traditional Cherokee ceremony, I did have to ask permission, and he doesn't have Indian blood, and so Mumford Erickson is Cherokee, and she did marry us, and she made him quite a few things that were symbolic of this journey that we're on together now. And he didn't wear those tonight, so I was going to point them out to you. One of them was a wonderful medicine bag. Medicine bags are important to Native American people. So what I would like to do first, and it's done in every traditional gathering, and this is a gathering, and I do stand humbly before you to share this information because we have a few people here who have a lot of Indian knowledge, and so I'm hoping that they know that I am giving as truthfully as I can. But I'd like all of you to stand for just a moment, and I've already smudged the room, and smudging is important and traditional with traditional people. Smudging is a way of creating a very positive energy so that all of us can learn together and come away with something that helped. And that's what my hope is. So when I did my smudging, I got a little confused and thought that was east, but I found out that was east. So now I'm going to do it the right way, and we're going to face the east here. And I'm going to call to our ancestors for a blessing upon all of us tonight as we talk and share and to ask for all of negative to be taken out. Thank you. And I'd like now to turn to the south, and I would like to call upon our ancestors from the south to protect us, to help us tonight to learn, ask a blessing from them to protect us as we work tonight. Thank you. And from the and to the south, that was the south, over here, the west, sorry, to the west. You see, the ancestors are already playing with me a little bit. The ancestors to the west, please bless all of us tonight. Take any negative out as we work so that we're in a very positive area. Thank you. And to the north, I ask a blessing from our ancestors to the north to protect us tonight and to keep us safe as we work together, creating a sacred circle here. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. That is one of the ways all the traditional people have begun every gathering, be that for celebration, joyfulness, be that for serious concentration on what things they should do with their people, good people, not such good people. This is what they always do. And they create in that what we call a sacred space in which to come together. So tonight, what I'd like to do is talk a bit, and really it's tip of the iceberg. I've been taught, been blessed by several mentors. In nursing, I went to traditional Western nursing, and at some point in there, I kept remembering some things that my family talked about, and that's very typical of those who come from Native backgrounds. At some point, they say, I need to go back there and find out what that was that I was supposed to be learning about. Can you all hear me okay? All right, good. So I began to search for a bit more. And one of the first places that came to me was Theosophical Society and Healing Touch, or Therapeutic Touch. And I began to use my hands with those that had cancer and were very sick. And I put my hands over them, not right on them, but 2 or 3 inches away. And as I did that, I said, I feel like I've done this before. This feels so familiar to me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to search a bit more. And back with the Native American culture that I actually came from. And so I began to look for some teachers, because my family, like so many, said, if I talk very much about being Indian, there's a lot of prejudice back then, and also I want to be pretty much integrated into this white society. So my family was pretty closed mouth for a long time about anything that smacked of Indian. So I went to a few other people. And naturally, as you know, when you decide you're going to go look for someone to help you remember and teach you, there they come. And so simultaneously, I had Dora Coons, who was a powerhouse in Healing Touch. I met Marilyn Youngbird, who's a Rikara Mandan and is really well known. And I have some slides tonight on my PowerPoint that will show her, and you'll see this beautiful healer who's, like I said, very active all over the world. And I'll say more about her later. She came into my life at a conference, and Mom Feather Erickson, and a person named Jim Gillihan, who some of you know. And all of this was because I said, you know, I want to know about this. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to make it my doctorate at this Western school of medicine. So I did. And I began to search, like I said. So for probably the last 25 years, I've been blessed with these wonderful people who come to my house or I come to theirs, and they teach you in the typical way that Native Americans teach you, which is having a cup of tea with you, sitting with you, sharing stories. And you don't know you're being taught, do you? You don't know that, but you are. You're being taught, and you'll be taught until you collapse, saying, I need to sleep now. But Paul knows. He's watched this a couple times. Mom Feathers kept me at the kitchen table with a cup of tea until I was thinking, I don't care anymore. I just want to go to sleep now. But I'm so grateful and blessed. So that is just a little bit about how I came to know some of these things. A very significant thing was, though, that I do want to say is that in 2001, at a conference for Indigenous healers, that's where I met Marilyn Youngbird, and there were several hundred in Washington, D.C., Indigenous healers. And these healers were probably anywhere from third to seventh generation from the original healers that who had taught them, that it kept being passed on. Many of them were also doctors, nurses, social workers, but they were also traditional healers. And then there were some who came who didn't have any English whatsoever, and they were wonderful. But nobody knew what they were saying, of course. But even the interpreters would start to say, I'm lost. I still don't know what they're saying. That was one of them from Peru. But at this conference, all these healers came together. The first time, it's not been repeated. And I learned so much. Peru, Canada, British Isles, British Columbia, not Britain, South America, and all of course, America. And it was so much energy. It was wonderful. The fire alarms went off and on, and the lights flickered, you know, and none of the technology worked very well, and nobody started on time, and nobody stopped on time. But it was wonderful. And one story, I got outside, I had to go out and get some fresh air and find a tree because there was so much energy and from these healers. And I went out in Washington, D.C. on the corner, and the bus went by and the cars went by, and I found a tree. It was like in the cement over here, a straggly little thing, and I put my hands on it and said, oh. And a healer had just driven up and was getting out of the car, and I must have looked a little frantic or something, and I said, I had to find a tree. And she said to me, oh, yeah, the energy can be, and I said, hanging on the tree here. So she said, here, this will help. So she ran back, and she got her medicine out. And her medicine was rosemary, fresh rosemary. And she gave me a whole bundle of it. And she said, every time you feel like, whew, you know, you just put that up by your nose and breathe it in, and it'll clarity, and it'll clear. Well, I hung on to that rosemary all weekend, you know. It was hardly there by the time I left. But it was wonderful. And so she came, she shared her medicine. But at the end of the conference, what was said to us who had come, who were still there. No, I'm teasing about that. But who had come was, this may not happen again. Your charge is to share this. You see, many Native Americans today feel that those ancient healing ways are alive and well and can help some of the things. I can't see you over there. I'm gonna stand up again. I'm too short in the circle. But they feel that some of these ways that were known then, they're known now to many people, and they can help with some of the things that are happening. Many of these healers said, and there are many who say this, we have some medicine that can help, and it's time to share it. It's time to talk about it. Go back wherever you came from and talk about this conference. And so I did. In 2006, I did this very thing. But at that time, I just talked about some of the things. And at this point, I hope I've integrated more of the information, including some of these things I'll show you as symbols, and can go a little deeper with you. But I am talking about it. I've talked to my nursing students. I've integrated it. I share with as many people as come to listen, some of the things that are there that they would think would help. And so I want to begin with that, then give you a little background of where I came from and why it's important that I keep trying to put that out there as best I can. Native Americans have some things that are very much related to holistic healthcare, holistic living. One of them is sitting in this circle. The circle is so important. In this circle, you know, in our world, we have things like need for power and greed, and we have economic crisis right now. We have a lot of violence in our homes, our relationships, in our schools, bullying. We have things like obesity and gluten sensitivity and all these things. And some of the things that I want to share with you, if you really think about them, if we could move into those, it could help some of this. Sitting in the circle, and I'll sit back down when I say this, nobody's got more power than another. Nobody's sitting higher. Nobody's more elevated than the next person that's next to them. There's no place that it really starts and no place that it really ends. And so you're absolutely right, John. It's that way on purpose. And so in all the council gatherings, meetings, that a lot of important decisions were made. This was the way they made them. The circle is in everything you will see Native American. I'm going to use that term Native American, American Indian, because that's what's familiar to everyone, but actually that's not really what they call themselves. Cherokee or Salagi, Navajo or Diné, all the tribes have a particular name that they go by, but for our purposes, I'll keep saying Native American. But this circle, everything, birth, death, the beginning of the seasons, the ending of the seasons and starting over again, all, it's a continuance. And so this circle is very, very important, circle of life. When you'll see on my PowerPoint, the healers, the ancient healers, they would gather all the people around who loved that person who was sick. They didn't want any negative energy. They didn't want anybody who didn't believe that what they were doing was a good thing to do. And also they needed full support. And when you think about it, we are all related. We're all related is another piece that I wanted to say. When you think, here's all of the field, we're in the field, and we're so connected, and we so impact one another. When I began to do therapeutic touch, I realized how important it was to be conscious of the energy that I was sharing with another to help or to heal. And that's, as we sit in the circle, we're connected. All of us are connected, and we impact one another very, very much. So when this healer was working, he set the people around in a circle. And as they, he only wanted positive energy. He only wanted the good thoughts and supportive thoughts. And anybody, you know, a lot of times people thought, well, they're being secretive. They don't want anybody to see that. It wasn't so much that. It was they didn't want that negative energy. And when you think about how connected we are, and someone who's very angry, it hurts us. Someone who's very depressed will kind of suck our energy out. And when they're very joyful and they have good energy, it fills us up. We're happy. Our immune system kicks in. So that Native American way was very wise. They just wanted the energy that would help support the healing of that person. And so they did the circle, and they recognized that intimate connection that each person had. And so that is another thing that you will hear said. We're all related. They say it in many different languages. You remember the Lakota?
Yeah, all the Takriyas.
And so all related. And so what that means is that not only are we energetically related, but we're honoring and seeing as important and sacred not just we humans, but our animals and our earth and our sky and our moon and our sun and the rocks and trees, everything. Everything is related. Everything is sacred. So when you think about that, you think about the fact that this idea from ancient times of having an awareness, a consciousness, about how connected we are and how important it is to remember that we are all related and that we're all important in this circle. And when you think about that, it takes away some of the, well, there's more, you know, but the greed and the feeling of power. But it also reminds you that if we're all sacred, then I'm sacred too. And I can accept love, and I can accept kindness, and I want to put that out. And I want to take care of my earth that way. I want to take care of my dog that way, my chickens. I remember the first time that, you know, you all probably know this, but the chickens, when they cut their little beaks off, you know, and kept them so they couldn't move, it just broke my heart. I thought, I'm going to go for the cage-free chickens because I don't like that, you know. What kind of energy am I taking into my body that comes from that kind of treatment to one of our relations. So again, our circle, we're all related. Another thing that is important, and know that I come a great deal from the Cherokee, but the feeling is that every one of you has medicine. We all have our own medicine. And this medicine can be a song. It can be a smile. It can be a heartfelt hug. It can be much more than that. But everybody in the circle has some medicine. And that medicine needs to be developed and shared with everyone so that, because if it's not, someone is missing something that one person has to give. When you think about that everyone has important medicine, it kind of says we're all important. We all have worth. We're all worthy of being cared about, et cetera, et cetera. And there it takes you to things like violence because the self-esteem is so low, because the treatment is not good, because one doesn't feel one has worth enough to be treated well. And when someone doesn't feel they have worth enough to be treated well, what happens? Sometimes they act out toward others. So in this Native way, it's so important. It's such a connected kind of consciousness that we all have medicine, which indicates that we all are special. We all are worthy of being thought well of, being valued, etc. So our medicine. Another part is in typical traditional way of the Native American, the whole family, the whole community is very important, not just the one individual. And that's kind of a hard concept for our nation, because we're encouraged to be very individual and to work hard to be independent and take good care of yourself, primarily. But if you think about it, that I impact you and you and you, and then you're in your small family, and we impact each other very much, that idea of what happens to one, what hurts one, will hurt all of us eventually, is really a truth. And to think about that, to have an awareness about it, because it's just like putting poison on things in your yard. Sometime that might run off into the water and get into the next neighbor's garden, right? And they eat something that has poison in it. Boom, 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 that connection, that way of impacting one another. But if you're really thinking about what I do impacts my child, it impacts my husband, it impacts my sister, it impacts then my family, impacts this community at large. If one begins to have that kind of consciousness and awareness, one begins to say, it matters what I do in my community. It matters what I do in my family, and et cetera. And I think, you know, I feel like I'm talking to the choir here, because I bet you're all on the same page I am here, you know. But sometimes it's important in that we remind each other of these things. So this is tip of the iceberg of many of the Native American ideas, ways of being, and they heal. They're healing ways also. Tonight I used, one of the things, you know, you say to yourself, how do I begin to be more aware, more conscious of my family, my neighbors, my earth, my my trees, my, all of the things that we hold sacred. How do I come to do that? And one of the things that I think the Native Americans have to offer us is the idea of ceremony and the idea of some of the symbols. In other words, if you never dance, if you never sing, you kind of lose that ability to do that. But in the Native American way, for everything that happens is a celebration. If you grow a good crop of corn, you celebrate it. And if you move into puberty, you celebrate it. If you become a young man, you celebrate it. And if you think about our world, we just let those times just slide right on by. And nobody makes a big fuss about it. And in celebrating these small things and then bigger things, again, that person feels valued, self-esteem. You don't have to go out and hit anybody because you're really happy, you know? But in the celebrations and some of the healing ways that anybody can use that I'll share with you is the idea of smudging, the idea of using sage and cedar and putting that out into an area. It's a known thing that sage and cedar has kind of a cleansing effect on the air. And if you believe that in cleansing in that way, it takes out negativity and things that are not helpful to heal or help you. If you have that awareness, even if you might not think sage really does that, what happens to you? You've got a symbol here. You've got an awareness that, wow, maybe there is something that's not helpful here. Maybe there could be some negative things. I'll bet any of you that work out in our work world, and boy, been there for years, as you know, go into a committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Committee meeting. I used to dread going into committee meetings because I felt like I needed to smudge everybody. No. But anyway, committee meetings. I mean, everybody's already there. First of all, they don't want to be there. Second of all, they don't want to lose the, you know, whatever's going on. They want to win the argument or whatever. So there's like, ooh, tension and negativity. So there's just so many events, so many things. Christmas is coming, all kinds of celebrations. And we all have characters in our family who we can't get rid of, and they're all coming. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. So anyway, what you do is you stand forth with your... Keep it handy. But anyway, but what I think the important thing to think about is the fact that it brings your awareness, sage, the burning of sage, to honor our directions, to say to ourselves, to the above beings, to that person that you believe in, God, the above beings, the Native people ask the above beings, that's God, you know, the above being our ancestors, all the people. How many of us think, I bet my grandma's up there watching me. Well, maybe she'd give me a little help right now. We don't realize how much of this we do on a daily basis, but the Native Americans have made a ceremony out of it. So remember that this is just one thing, the burning of sage, the burning of cedar to cleanse an area is a very good thing to do. And it brings your awareness to perhaps our thoughts that will say, I'm gonna really think positive thoughts. I'm gonna prepare this place for positive things to happen. And another thing is tobacco. Tobacco is something that you can put in little medicine, like a little tobacco bag. Tobacco has been known for a long time to another thing, to burn it, and if you put a prayer in that tobacco, that prayer will go up, be taken up on the wind. And so tobacco's been a sacred herb in that way, used to put in the fire and take it up, take your prayers up on the wind with the fire. So tobacco is another thing. Again, it's symbolism. It's a symbolism that reminds you to do that prayer. It reminds you that we have that kind of power with our thoughts to send our prayers up. And so if you need more, you can just take some red, put the tobacco in there, and hang them all over your trees. Now, I say that with my tongue in my cheek because it depends on your neighbors, actually. You know, what they might think that you've got up. But another part that I need to tell you is that all medicine people use a lot of humor, and you need humor. We need laughter. So they will be with me tonight and having a good joke on myself. You're looking also at the four colors of Cherokee, the blue, the black, red, and the white. Those are the Cherokee colors. And I've got the pen here on my lapel. The colors are very meaningful. We know that blue can bring a peacefulness. I use it in healing. When medicine people would drum and chant, I want you to think about some wonderful wisdom that they had. We know that music notes, certain music notes, are healing. You know, we know that. And they hit those notes many times as they did their chanting and their drumming to try to bring a healing energy to someone. So this drumming, you know, and our rattles that we use when we're doing some healing too, those are all very, very important. So I think when you have, first of all of you have medicine people in your past. In Czechoslovakia, they have the medicine women. And there's many European women and men who are healers. And I'm talking a lot tonight about medicine from the Native Americans in America, North America, from Maryland, the Arikara, and Lakota, some Lakota, and also some that's just general that you'll find in every tribe or nation. Some of these are held by all Native Americans. And there's some very, very powerful healers that are herbalists. You see, most of the Native Americans aren't just all of it. You've got a very powerful herbalist. You've got a very powerful person that does touch. Maybe does a little of the shaking. Another will have the medicine of perhaps thought. And so that's with everyone. Remember I was saying everyone in the circle has medicine. Each one of you has medicine. And this is a wonderful offering. It's a great way of thinking of how we could attack things like obesity. One of the thoughts of obesity is that people keep eating and eating, trying to find something. And long time ago, when people would plant those seeds, the Native American people would pray over those seeds. They weren't the only ones, of course, but they would pray over those seeds. And they'd water those seeds. And then they would come up and they'd say thank you to the above beings. And they'd have a celebration, a corn celebration. And they said thank you. And so when they took that in, there was energy of thankfulness, gratefulness. There was more to it than just putting it in the microwave and eating it right up, you know. They said those prayers from the time they put the seeds in to the time they ate. And I think those are some things that the Native Americans bring as an awareness again, to just remind us what we already know, what, you know, those nudgings that we have in our families from Europe or wherever you're from. They're with us already, those remembrances. And before I start this PowerPoint, the one more thing that I wanted to share is I was taking lots of lessons from Dora Kunz about this healing touch. So I was doing this. And I thought, oh, this sounds, it feels so familiar, you know, and I was began my search. And so as I searched, I was reading in the Cherokee way that the ancient healers would put their hand, this was written right in there, put their hands over the fire and warm their hands. And then they would put their hands not on the person, but near the person of the area that was problematic. And they would send energy in there for healing. I thought, I knew it. I knew it. I knew there was something there. So what I'd like to do now is show you a few clips here on the PowerPoint. And so, Jim, if you put that on there, and I'll do that clicker, that'd be great. Thank you. Let me see here. That one goes forward, and that one goes backwards. All right, I got this down. Okay, good. And then I'll ask for questions. Anybody that would have any questions or thoughts tonight? If you can see this, maybe, yeah. Black Elk was a very, very powerful holy man and healer, Oglala Sioux. He said, everything the power of the world does is done in a circle. The life of a man is a circle from childhood to childhood, and so it is in everything where power moves. I brought a few books, and there are many books at Quest Bookstore, and also Barnes & Noble has many too. If I've nudged some curiosity tonight, there's some here that I'll show you that I've studied myself, but there's so much out there. But if you're going to study Native American ways, find a Native American, a credible Native American, or a credible person that will teach you. Okay? And I just love this picture. It showed the circle as one of a way of celebrating the power of that circle. These are Cherokee women. You can see the Cherokee dress. These are masks that can be used sometimes in ceremony, traditional dress. Mm-hmm, yeah. Am I right in the middle? Okay, here. You know what? I think it'll still work back here. Let me see. Yeah, oh, look at that. It works all the way back here. I am so excited with technology working. This is great. I will tell you something funny. When I did my other one in 2006, I had slides. And I said that the spirits are working against me or playing with me because I had put them all in and I got help to put them in so that they would go right side up. And every other one would be like wrong side down. And then they would race. I'd go boom, and they'd just go boom, 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 boom. And I never got to do the slides. So this is, you know, I figured they were playing with me there. So now this time is a good way. But this is Mom Feather. You can't see her face, but it was traditional Cherokee wedding ceremony, and she was praying for us. And that ceremony is reflective of ancient ceremonies that were done. So we felt so honored to be able to be a part of that. She used one of the things they use many times for just a reminder of cleansing and life is corn dust. And they put the corn dust, and it's just, you know, almost like a minister does the cross, you know, the four directions. It's the corn dust, is that four directions right on your forehead like that. This is an ancient Cherokee man. That's what they look like. They didn't look like the Southwest people at all. And fire was very important for sending the prayers up. A healer, and often they call themselves helpers rather than healers. They will always, always ask for help in healing someone in the form of visions dreams, messages from the ancestors. So they always, always ask for that help before they, and so it's just like all of us who say a prayer before you try to help someone. Let me please help this person and not hurt them, you know. He is holding, I'm not absolutely certain because they didn't mention it, but I believe, I believe it is a pipe, I believe. I think it's actually a pipe. The bowl is downward, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And that is just a wonderful picture. Thomas Males put out a great book about the Cherokee, and that just showed the old ancient Cherokee. They sometimes would, you know how you heard in early medical times, they would bloodlet, you know, they'd take blood, and it was a way of doing some of that, always with the fire. And Cherokee people do an immersion in water for purification. Seven times they go under, seven times. Seven's a very important number. But instead of the sweat lodge, which they've now adapted, because everybody else does it, they might as well too, right? So, but in the old times, it wasn't a sweat lodge, it was water immersion. And that was the purification led by that holy man there. Medicine person. And this is Marilyn many years ago before she had gray hair. Marilyn is on Marilyn tours all around. She's a Rikara Mandan. She is a medicine person and also a healer in body, mind, and spirit. And Marilyn has most recently helped those in Tibet who have been without medication for TB and things. She was here. The past president knows her well, and Marilyn's been at my house many times. Next year, if it all works out here, you know, I'll put on the calendar, she's coming, and she's going to do this kind of thing with me. She couldn't come this year. But she, if you're around and we end up doing it, it's really worth hearing. She's a phenomenal woman. And go ahead and hit the, you'll hear just a few words that I wanted you to hear. It's on YouTube, actually. You can just look her up on the web and hear her. Nope. Where's the sound? Just a second, there's sound too. This is it's important because all these people that I learned from have the same message. It's all about love. Their energy that they have, their medicine, is loving. It's about love and healing. Is it going to work? Oh, good.
And we can't live really spiritually healthy or physically healthy or mentally healthy without love. Love from life. We all believe, we have an innate knowing, and we trust, and we have no doubt that the sun is going to come up every day. We believe that, and we know it. But we doubt someone loves us, and we're always looking, always running around, looking for someone to confirm who we are and to give love. But the truth is if we don't love ourselves, we can never feel love from anyone else.
What is important about this is, with much of the pain that the Native Americans carry from all the times here in America, you will find sometimes there are many, as would be expected, many Native Americans are very unhappy or even angry with much of what had happened. And the truth is there's many Native Americans who've gone away because they've been hurt so badly. They've gone away from the traditional ways and they've moved toward alcohol or things like that. There's a great movement now for the elders that are still with us to heal that. And Marilyn's one of those elders that speaks about letting go of the past. Now let's move forward, let's move on, and let's heal those wounds. So I'm bringing some of the best that the Native Americans have to offer our world. And there are many, many Native American healers now, very active, who are saying, we have medicine that will help, and we're ready to share it. Not the secrets, not the secret ceremonies, things like that, but things that can be shared. And so you're going to hear more. You are going to hear more in the years to come. And we'll hope people can hear them and listen. But Marilyn and Mom Feather, Jim Gillihan, they were all people who said, it's about loving. It's about caring for one another. It's not excluding people. And I remember one time there was one of the men was much younger at that time, a man named Steve. He's a healer now, Steve McCullough. And he was at a powwow, and a young girl came up and said, I'm a Cherokee princess. And the persons that he was talking to were laughing at her. And Steve came up to talk with her. You see, there was never any word for princess a long time ago. The men called their women beloved, and it was interpreted as princess. And someone had told this young woman, you're so beloved, you're like a princess. And that's what she was saying. And Steve, full blood, wonderful Lakota man, said, I will never embarrass another person like that. In my presence, I will not let that happen again. And I was so touched, it touched my heart, because I thought, you know, it can be exclusion on either side, you know. And so this wonderful Indian man said, I'm going to make sure that people who don't have as much knowledge about Native American ways but want to know are given that information and treated with a kindness and a love. So that's just a little tidbit about those that are moving forward now and letting go of past and coming out as the true healers that they are. And that's just a little bit more about what we all are connected. I just love that picture. What happens to one impacts all. To get back in touch with the rhythms of life cycles, planting, growth, the seeds, the flowers, the falling leaves, and the next cycle, and create that deep connection to our earth, its beauty and healing energy. And this is from Marilyn. It was something she said a long time ago to me, and I have used it so many times, and I'll share it with you. But she said to me, and also to others at that time, your words and your thoughts are very powerful. They're like prayers on the wind. They travel far, and they have the power to help or do harm. Be careful what your thoughts are. Be careful what your thoughts are. So I say to you, peace be with you in your own healing journey. I do have one more story, and then I would like to ask for questions. As I said, in 2001, the charge was given, please share what you've learned. Please share. Again, this September, there is something called the Wisdom of the Elders, and that was created by Jim Gillihan. And Jim had learned an enormous amount from Lakota people. He's part Cherokee, and he was encouraged to learn from his own people, which he did. And as I said, he was a incredibly well-loved and valued Native American in our community through this Midwest area. He's actually done a couple of presentations here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you remember, but yeah. So he began to look at how he could share knowledge and encourage some of these things that we've talked about. And he created something called the Wisdom of the Elders. And so if anybody's ever interested in that, it's once a year. It's usually the first weekend of October, and it's down at a place called Mantle Rock now. Jim died, 2003, something like that. Other Native Americans continued the tradition of having the Wisdom of the Elders. And it's a wonderful experience there. It's now at a place called Mantle Rock Native American Study Center. It's in Marion, Kentucky. And we go down there, and there's wonderful drumming and fire and stories and wisdom shared. And this year is one of the things that is what I want to talk to you about. It's another way of maybe healing our world. But a person named Steve McCullough was given some important medicine from Jim, and he's carried his responsibility very seriously, and he's gone to South America. There's been hundreds and thousands of people there, actually, with other shamans and healers doing prayers, helping for healing for our world. And about before Wisdom, it must have been, what, in the spring or in the summer? In the spring or summer? That he went over to Belgium, yeah. And in Belgium, he was one of the speakers, again, Native American, who was, I don't know if any of you, I know some of us that were there knew this, but I didn't know if any of you had heard this, but there was a great rally for world peace. And there were actually thousands of people there. And Steve was one of the representatives from the United States, a Native healer. And while he was in Belgium at this great event for world peace, and you know, what's interesting is this was powerful and wonderful. And I bet none of you heard about it, right? No, it's not publicized. didn't get enough publicity here. But there were a lot of people there who presented. I mean, Steve wasn't the only one. But while he was in Belgium, he went to a museum, and he saw a sword there that they called, what do they call that, hon? The Sword of Power, I think, Sword of Power. And it's not a good thing, not a good thing. The sword apparently was passed on, help me if I don't get this quite right, but was it the Sword of Power?
No.
Sword of something.
Yes, no,
sort of destiny.
It's kind of a real powerful,
yeah, it's negative. Yeah, the last person that held that sword was Hitler, and so he saw the sword, and he said, "Steve said, you know, in a typical Native American way, why can't we change the energy in that? Let's reverse that energy." So he said to the Belgium contingent, "Is there a way that we could take the sword out of the museum, borrow it, and?" All of us here for world peace, and put our energy in it, and you know, take the bad power out of it. Yeah, and they said no, of course. So I just gotta keep that negative stuff. Yeah. So anyway, but they basically what they said was, there's too much money wise, political wise, all that kind of thing. You know, they can't take it out of the museum. So Steve went back to the group and was kind of sad, but hadn't quite given up. Before he left Belgium, wouldn't you know, this contingent had a replica made, and they presented it to him as a symbol of this sword. So he brought it to Wisdom this fall, and there were several healers there. Mom Feather was one of them, and all the people that had come. And they had prayers and drumming, and all the people were sending love energy to this symbol of destruction. And so at one point, everybody was to go and just place their hands on this symbolic sword, put it there, and say, you know, I'm sending love energy to re, you know, to neutralize, to turn this around. And they did this, and it was really powerful. I just, you know, tears coming down, and Kathy was there, and Paul was there, and it was just, it was so moving. And I share that with you because of, Steve's a very simple man, and he that's what he says, you know. Mm-hmm. I think he's a powerful man, but he speaks in a simple way, in a caring way, comes from his heart. And what he said was very simple. Why can't we just put our hands on that thing and send loving energy and just turn it around? And that is so typical of a Native American way of thinking. You know, if you have someone who's really acting out and has very crazy behavior that's hurting you, their idea was to say they're important. They have medicine, and that medicine is to show you how you don't want to be, you know, what you don't want to behave like. And, you know, even the Navajo clowns were showing you how crazy you're acting. Take a look at this, you know. Don't be this way. So, but Steve did something that I felt was so symbolic and that we could bring into our own lives. When there's, instead of totally casting something out, give it some meaning and turn that around to a better thing. And when you turn it around, when you put different energy into it, even if it's just the symbol of it, that's very powerful. Because remember, our thoughts are powerful. They can hurt someone or heal someone. And so that was the last thing that I just wanted to share with you, that that's the kind of thing that we can do wherever we are, even in our own homes, to turn a situation around, neutralize negative or bad energy to a different way, to a more loving way. So again, peace be to you, all of you. And if there's any questions, I'm ready. Go ahead. Yes.
When you sage a room,
yes.
Is there a particular way you do it? Do you go from one corner to the next?
You do sage.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. When she wanted to know if when you sage, you know, when you, it's actually smudge is the word. When you smudge a room, is there a right or wrong way? And I guess the number one thing that I would like to say is, well, yes, Native Americans have a way they do it, but please don't let that stop you. There's no wrong or wrong way if you don't know for sure how to do it. Just do it with your heart and your intention that you want to take the negative out. But typically, you'll go with the four directions, and typically, you start with the east. East.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why that seems like the east to me here. It gives you kind of a. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Yep.
Before you ask the question, if you can just wait for the microphone.
John wants you to ask on the microphone.
Are Native American healers born or made?
That's a wonderful question. There was a time, I think, when first of all, the population was much smaller, and when someone emerged in the tribe that showed healing abilities, it was noted, it was evidence. Kind of goes with everyone has medicine, but there were healers. There were actually medicine people. And they paid attention to those children that were born, those young people. This was in the past, in ancient times, those healers and those young children. And they were groomed and taught, yes. They kind of came with some ways. Now, that's not so much now, because, like I said, there's been going away in many nations and tribes from the medicine way, the traditional way. There's been some going away, and there's so I think what is happening is that there are people now who want to help, who want to do some healing and do good things, and they search out those medicine people and ask if they could be taught. and many times they are taught. Is there, do you have a, another thought on that? Anyone want to help me out on that? That's what I know about with the healers. All right. Does that help a little bit, though? Okay. And you can be taught. You can be taught. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts or questions? Yeah. Paula.
You mentioned your four colors.
Yes.
Could you, you only talked about blue in the piece. Could you talk about the colors and the direction they go with and what they symbolize?
Well, actually, you know what? I wish I could say a bit more. I will tell you that I'm wearing the Cherokee red. Red is a very important color in the Cherokee, the good red road. You're the good red road. It's not particularly Cherokee, actually. It's also Lakota. But the good red road means I'm doing the best I can to live the best life I know how to live, not harming people. I'm in other words, you're staying on the good red road. That's just one little example. There's actually, and I do have a couple of books here too. You'll see different ideas about the four directions. So it depends on, it depends on quite a few things. But usually there is a color that goes with a direction, and there's an idea. For example, second now, north. Okay.
That's right.
I got it now. But say, for example, to the north is white. It's very typically white. It's your head. It's your intention. It's your mental thinking. And so you want to have that be good. You know, it's always about doing it the best way. And black isn't necessarily a bad thing. In some cultures it means death and foreboding and things like that. Not so in Native cultures. Mm-hmm. So what I want to tell you is that I know a lot of different things about each one. Some is your emotions. One direction will be working with your emotions. Another thing is with directions is the cycles of your life. As you begin in the East, as you're born and you learn all the beginning things and you travel to the next part of your life and to the next and to the next. So what I'm saying is that in different tribes, they look at the four and not just the four directions. They look at the above beings as another, that's a fifth, the below, and all around. So sometimes it's considered the seven directions rather than just the four. I remember I tip of the iceberg here with things. So I would confuse you if I tried to say the Cherokee definitely thinks that the east and the north and all those are a particular thing, because they actually look at it as a evolving way of charting your growth and progress. And it's also symbolic too of colors and et cetera. But the red, good red road, blue is often that healing, thoughtful color. And again, white protection, mental. So I know I'm not answering very well, but trust me that there's many interpretations of the colors and also the directions.
You said there was going to be some follow-ups on this next year.
Yeah.
Can you give me the year generally when it's going to be and what the topics might be?
Well, here's the thing. At some point, Marilyn and I will create a talk together. Marilyn has, she's ahead of me as far as her study and her knowledge, and she is a medicine person. She's actually, I think it's about seventh generation descendant of Sakakawea, and that's how she says it too, by the way. That's how their tribe says it. And so she was actually groomed and moved toward being a healer. So she's got a wonderful way about her, healing way, and knowledge to share. But what I've been thinking is that next fall, hopefully you know, these programs here at Theosophical fill up rather quickly. And so I'm saying it before they even have a chance to think about it, but if there's a spot for us and it works out that we can get on the calendar, you know, I think Marilyn was available in the fall. So look for us, and if not this year, then next spring. But we are going to do it, Marilyn and I. Marilyn and Marilyn, how about that? That fun? That's not her real name. Yeah, Eminem. No, it'll be a lecture. It'll just be. Well, we'd have to twist her arm. We have to twist her arm and see what they have here available. We need help to twist her arm. She really is something else. So. Any other thoughts or questions? Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, say it anyway. Blurt it right out there.
You said if you wanted to learn that you need to find someone who is...
Credible.
How do you go out? I mean, besides yourself, how would you find someone?
You know what? Credible? That was kind of an odd thing I said, wasn't it? I think what I want you to do is be careful who your teacher is. Just be careful. You'll know in your body who's authentic, who's telling you the truth, who comes from a sound background. And that's all I really meant. There's wonderful teachers around, and I would be happy to... Paula knows how to get a hold of me here at Theosophical. She always sends me emails if people have questions. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of individuals who are in, like, say, for example, Chicago area, you know, Kentucky, around. But I'm not the only one. But I could move you in a direction towards some people. But I think your body will tell you who's feeling trustworthy and authentic and where do they come from. For example, Marilyn. Marilyn is, I mean, you can look her up on the web. She's, you know, comes from a particular tribe in North Dakota, and she's the real McCoy, and many others. And there's many people who are mixed blood, which is like me, who've studied with many full-blood Indians who have said, share the information, go out there and do it, you know, and have been given permission to do that. So we always come humbly forth to do that so that we wouldn't want to offend anyone or say something that wasn't quite right. I hope that helped. In the traditional Native American way, the answers are usually fairly circular, and it takes a while to get back to the question, which I usually have forgotten by the time I get to the other part there. So, another question? Any questions? No? Thank you so much for listening, for being here, and I think there's treats, right?
Yes.